The killings in Dallas, Minnesota, and Baton Rouge last week have many talking about polarization in America. "We are a divided nation," was the tweet from Donald Trump yesterday. On Friday, the New York Post ran the front page headline, "Civil War." Former Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey described it this way on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday.
Well, we are sitting on a powder keg. I mean, it's you can call it a powder keg. You could say that we're handling nitroglycerin. But obviously, when you just look at what's going on, we're in a very, very critical point in the history of this country.
But President Obama over the weekend had a different view.
As painful as this week has been, I firmly believe that America is not as divided as some have suggested.
Bring in Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
So when you hear people say America in crisis, civil war, etc., what are your thoughts about that?
It's complicated because there are real divisions. Let's take race, for example. There was a Pew survey out a few weeks ago that found that Black people were significantly more likely to say that race relations in the U.S. Were bad. But what's interesting is that although the country as a whole thinks race relations have gone backward under Obama, the one group that told Pew that the president has made progress on race relations was the Black respondents in that Pew survey. So this seems like a paradox that Blacks are both more likely to see a race divide and more likely to say that things are getting better. But that's just it. Think about it this way. Black Americans are more likely to say things are bad but getting better. White Americans are more likely to say things are all right, but getting worse. And one factor that I think is contributing to both of these stories, to both sides of the paradox, is social media, which essentially has made it easier for white people to see the Black experience. I say see and not understand because there's a big difference. It is the beginning of empathy. But this beginning of empathy, I think, enabled by social media, has awakened a lot of people to the reality of police brutality and the inequality of Black life. And this has made it seem as if things are getting much, much worse.
Well, I want to ask you about that, the role of social media. I was watching the program Reliable Sources on CNN over the weekend, and there was a newspaper media critic who was saying that social media has made it possible for reporters even to say things that then had to be deleted because they would never have been printed in the first place because they don't have to go through the layers of editorial process that used to have to be done in the past, but that can inflame the situation as well. And then the Wall Street Journal has an interesting piece called Blue Feed, Red Feed, where you can pick an issue like the Dallas shooting and see what the Facebook feed of a liberal looks like alongside that of a conservative, and they're totally different. Is social media dividing the country even more?
This is a complicated question, an important question. I think of social media, things like Facebook, as analogous not to a single publication, but rather as analogous to a platform. So was radio good or bad for America? Was the invention of newspapers good or bad? Was television good or bad? Obviously, these are really complicated questions, and with Facebook and social media, it is similarly complicated. On the one hand, yes, social media does allow ourselves to surround each individual with like-minded friends and peers, allows people to build mirrors around us so we're more likely to see opinions that adhere closely to the ideas we already have. On the other hand, no, social media is not an altogether negative force. It is very effective, as I said, at showing all Americans the divisions that already exist. And this has the effect, I think, of making some people think that things are getting worse when in fact what they're really seeing is a situation that has always existed, but for the first time.
And in the case of the shootings last week by police of Black men, even broadcasting those live in a way that they never would have been before. The other thing is, Derek, we're talking about division in America and racial division, but there are also economic divisions. There are generational divisions. We just saw that in the UK with the Brexit vote. A lot of the young people saying stay in the UK and the older people saying no, let's stay in the EU rather, and the older people saying let's leave. There are a lot of kinds of divisions.
Yeah, one of the most important divisions in the U.S. to keep in mind, I think, and it's hard to remember this obvious fact, America is huge. To quote Walt Whitman, it contains multitudes. So when we say things like America thinks, we have to be careful. Hmm. Do Americans want more gun control, for example? Well, many liberal cities absolutely do, and many suburban and rural areas in red states absolutely do not. And this is becoming harder to talk about as people sort themselves by income and by geography. So, for example, an amazing statistic. In 2001, the 50 richest metro areas produced 27% more per person than the national average. Now they produce 34% more. So it's not just polarization. It's agglomeration, too. Rich cities getting richer and poorer areas getting poorer. And this also makes America seem more divided.
Derek Thompson, a senior editor at The Atlantic, and we welcome your thoughts at our website, hereandnow.org. How divided do you think America is right now? Derek, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.